Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Carson Anderson, 97.1 and Ticket. Open lines, of course, 248-539-9797. Doug Carson from the home office, Gator, the Jamie Samuelson Studios, streaming the show through our website, 971theticket.com. Also, the radio.com app, where you could take the show anywhere with you on your mobile device. And there is also the twitch.tv feed, where you can watch video of the show and comment there on the ongoing stream. On the right side of the screen, which we occasionally check, and I know is getting monitored, and we get feedback through that as well. And you can follow us on Twitter, at DougGator971. So lots of way to interact, lots of ways to interact. We try and engage in all of them. Beautiful fall Tuesday here. And oh, by the way, for people who haven't been around the last couple days, maybe just joining us here in the lunchtime hour, Kang is back after a 39-day bout with COVID, and glad to have you back. And I know every once in a while I look up Kang and I see a ticket text, I see a comment on Twitch, people welcoming you back. So we too would love to welcome you back, because it was tough without you, man. It was tough without you.
Yeah, so it was tough being out. I'm very glad to be back, and I do appreciate everyone that's reached out on social media, Twitter, Twitch. You know, everywhere. Just, yeah, it was rough for a while. Yeah, obviously, when you're gone for 39 days, it's not because I felt great. But over it now, hopefully, and ready to move forward, you know. But, yeah, thank you to everyone, and it's great to be back, honestly.
How was it yesterday, by the way, when the show was done? You said at the beginning it wasn't like riding a bike. It was a little bit
Yeah, it was a little weird at first, you know. But once, you know, an hour into it, I got back to the hang of things. And, yeah, after the show, it just felt like kind of normal again, you know. Driving to work was different, too, you know, because you don't drive much. Well, I don't drive much as it is already. But once you get coronavirus, you're quarantined, you're sick and all that stuff. And just making the drive to work was, like, actually really nice, you know, just to get out of the house. And, yeah, it just felt good to be back, though. But I'm thankful for everyone's, you know, prayers and thoughts and all that stuff. So good to be back and talking to Lions, and they still suck, right? I remember the first. I was in the middle of, like, I forget what day of the fever it was when the Lions opened the season, and I'm watching the game, and I couldn't be as frustrated as I normally was because I was so sick. But watching DeAndre Swift drop that pass, and I'm like, seriously, like, I have coronavirus. Can you just at least give me something right now? And
2020,
right? I thought things were going to be different.
The year that keeps on giving.
Well, welcome back, man. Good to have you back. So, speaking of Lions, Gator, I don't know if you did anything with the story in The Athletic on Friday that was kind of running down the scenarios of what really happens. You know, what you're looking at, the challenges of changing out the coach, changing out the GM, the timing of when you do it. But they did throw something out there that I hadn't given much consideration to. But it was, if you fire the coach now, who takes over? Now, we had always just said Bevel. Back when Jim Caldwell was let go, I, with about 5 weeks left in the season, said, look, if you're going to make a change, do it now and see if you've got the solution in-house with Terrell Austin. Now, you remember at the time, Austin was interviewing for head coaching positions. And he may still get a shot. He had been at Seattle and had success there. I think people liked his work in Detroit for the most part. Seemed like he was pretty highly thought of.
I think people liked Terrell Austin because they had a respectable defense, which is something that this team has not had much of in the last 30 years. And, you know, there was a one team or one. It felt like there was one season with Jim Schwartz where we liked the defense, and that was the year that I think they went up against New Orleans in the playoffs, and obviously they got smoked there. But Terrell Austin put together some good defenses for the Lions.
So, you know, I was like, okay, don't waste this resource, right? Maybe he could be a great head coach. Just see what he does. And the story in The Athletic suggested a name I hadn't thought much, but then I started doing a little digging. And that was special teams coordinator Braden Combs. Here's what they write. He's just 4 games into his first Lions season and his first season as a league coordinator. He spent 2010 through 2019 as an assistant in the Bengals organization. However, he's pretty clearly on a head coaching track, be it at the pro or college level. His dad, Kerry Combs, is the defensive coordinator at Ohio State, so he has coaching pedigree. And I mentioned at the Senior Bowl how impressed folks around the league were by the 33-year-old up-and-comer. There's a recent precedent for special teams to interim head coaches moves. The Rams promoted John Fossil to that role in 2016 after releasing Jeff Fisher, then returned Fossil to his original role the following year. Wasn't John Harbaugh also a special teams coach in Philly? And when he got the job in Baltimore, and I remember thinking, oh, that's not going to work. It's worked. Combs had really good special teams in Cincinnati. Now, special teams to head coach feels a little weird.
It seems like it's a big leap.
Yeah, it does seem like it's a big leap. And yet, it's intriguing to me that the Lions have a 33-year-old assistant that had people talking, because at the Senior Bowl, you know, Lions coaches were there and working. And according to The Athletic, he has caught people's eye. Now, it got to be a real big deal to go get that young, energetic guy in the wake of our guy in L.A., Sean McVay's success. And is it possible, does it make sense, if this guy truly is an inspiring, hot young name, would you want to give him, I don't know, half this season, promote him to head coach and see, make sure you're not missing out on something that somebody else is going to have someday and you're going to go, he was here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have no problem with that because it means you're firing Matt Patricia. So, yeah, go ahead, give him a chance. I mean, I wouldn't have high expectations, but it's, you know, it's one of these kick the tires thing, get an early estimation of what you've got, an early evaluation. And I'm cool with that. He's been a coach for, 12 years, I think, involved with the NFL, something like that.
And he's only 33.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long career. And it wasn't always special teams. I mean, he came in as one of these quality control guys is what you're going to do, or an intern when you come into the league as a 21-year-old or whatever. And it's not just special. He's worked, I think, with offenses and receivers maybe. So he's got experience. And you mentioned the pedigree. I don't know if it's the right move or not, but if you're going to fire Matt Patricia in the next couple of weeks, like I think they should, because I think they should have done it after the loss to New Orleans, and you're looking at somebody to give a chance to, I mean, it makes sense to go with Bevel because it's already a coordinator who's looking to take that next step. But if you want to really get an evaluation on something different and think outside the box, at the same time, you could tell Bevel, look, we're not forgetting about you, but we're going to try something different here. Go ahead and do it. Although you don't have to soothe Daryl Bevel. There's no reason to do that. You're doing things for your own purposes here. And if that's what the Lions want to do, that's fine. But, you know, I would also caution that because, I mean, the guy that I want a real head coach. I want a guy who's got head coaching experience, been successful doing it, and that's where I'd like the Lions to go for the next head coach. They've tried everything. They've tried every route, and you know this would be another in a long line. And it's great. John Harbaugh made it. John Harbaugh is the exception. He's not the rule.
Well, we don't know yet for sure, but Joe Judge, the New York Giants head coach, was a special teams head coach or coach over in New England. So I mean, they're 0-5. They haven't won a game yet this year. But yeah, I mean, you know, it is his first year. But yeah, you're right. Harbaugh is that's the top tier of that working out. You know, I mean, Joe Judge may be the bottom if he never wins a game. Who knows? But this is, I know you said they've gone every route. I think this is the last route, right? Where you just grab a guy who has no head coaching experience.
They've done that.
No, but never been a coordinator of defense or head, you know,
they've
offensive coordinator. Who was it?
They did that with, I don't think Morningweg was a coordinator.
Yeah, he was offensive coordinator for the Niners.
Marty Morningweg was?
Yes.
I'm not sure about that. And then Rod Marinelli wasn't a coordinator. Rod Marinelli was his defensive line coach.
Yeah. That is another one. But he was ancient. But yeah, I mean, this, you know, when you're looking, the new hot coach, Doug, you're right. Because people, they don't want to lose that guy, right? So is this your chance to give him that dress rehearsal and to see what he's, you know, what kind of makeup he has? Does he adjust? What does he do? They did that with Tampa Bay, Raheem Morris, who's right now the interim coach in Atlanta. They didn't want to lose him. So they just, they fired, I think, was it, I forget who the coach was.
Dirk Cutter?
It might have been, yeah. And they just
fired
promoted
Dirk Cutter to hand it to this guy that they didn't want to lose.
He was like the secondary head, you know, secondaries coach. So this happens. Does it work out? Obviously not all the time, but I mean, listen, we're desperate here, right? At this point. And,
right.
And by the way, if it doesn't work out, you've already kind of given up on the season anyways by firing your head coach and possibly your GM, right? And so then you hire your coach of the future at the end of the season.
And you were right about Morningweg. He was an offensive coordinator at with San Francisco right before he took over the Lions.
We're talking about the possibility, if the Lions were to go interim, that the special teams coordinator, Braden Combs, is a hot name in coaching. He's 33, and he's in the Lions organization. And it just feels like there have been instances where, you know, people, you know, Don Shula, who was the other one? Parcells, wasn't he a Lions assistant?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, so you don't want to let that next guy go. 248-539-9797.
We'll hit Matt on the cell phone. Matt, welcome to 97 on the ticket. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, so, you know, I played FanDuel. I heard you guys speaking on that earlier. And, you know, I play a few hundred every week, you know, and I've won $1,000 in contests. And I religiously play FanDuel. I feel more comfortable as opposed to DraftKings. And on FanDuel, what I noticed yesterday was, you know, in a 4 o'clock slate on a $9 play, I was second place for $25,000 for about 2 hours. And then all of a sudden, the scores started, they changed them again. And I dropped to seventh place, you know, for $1,500. And I'm looking, and I notice everybody above me had Cleveland's defense, in which you get 1 point for points against between 14 and 20. And what I found odd was, well, Indianapolis scored 23 points. So right there's a point should be taken away. And I just want to put that out there that they still haven't, I've contacted support. They still haven't even corrected that one. And who knows how many more statistics within these lineups are not even correct, you know?
So you could be out winnings at this point.
Yeah, because I was actually only 0.1, or actually, I'm sorry, 1 point off from sixth place, which would have gave me another 500. I've been tied with a guy at sixth place if he lost his point. So that, I'm looking at probably $500 I probably missed out on, and I contacted support. Haven't got a reply yet. They make it real difficult to get through to them. But I, you know, it just baffled me. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wait a second here. Cleveland,
this is the kind of thing, I remember when online poker became a thing, and I kind of raised my eyebrow going, I don't know if I'd be comfortable doing this. And then as time went on, it seemed like, you know, but it was all legit. And this seems all very legit. But yeah, this feels like the kind of thing where you got to give him time to sort it out, but you don't. You know, monitor.
You know, and
make sure you're not getting ripped off.
I was screenshotting some of these as it was going through and stuff, just taking a look. And, you know, like, I'm looking, I'm like, man, there's like two people that came out of nowhere. And it, you know, it almost makes me feel like, which I do believe they regulated it in the past several years or whatnot, but I almost felt like, man, did they throw some box in here or something? You know, it started to make me skeptical. Like, don't get me wrong, I've won thousands of dollars on these. You know, I play it religiously every day. Wow. But, you know, it makes me skeptical, you know.
Okay.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, I'd be skeptical as well.
All right. So back to the Braden Combs thing here, Gator.
Yep.
Do you feel like there is a, like, if you're going to do this, and it is possible that that Matt Patricia gets fired before the season is done, I don't know if I call it likely. I guess it depends what happens. How many games, if you wanted to seriously look at an interim candidate as the head coach and just give it the trial run with this guy while you make your list of who you're going to interview, of, you know, whether it be Robert Saleh or Dan Quinn or Urban Meyer or whomever, right? You're starting to put together your hit list of who you want to talk to. How many games would you give an interim that would give you a real read for whether or not you should seriously consider him as a coach?
12.
Clever answer, Scott.
How about 11? I'll go 11. I mean, honestly, because you've got a situation right now with the way the schedule sets up, with the winnable games on the schedule, in the next five games in particular, that I've seen what Patricia can do. I know that they can beat some bad teams. I know. I've seen them do that. What I don't know, and what I also know, is that they can't be good teams with Patricia, and that they lose to teams that they shouldn't lose to. So I moved on from that. What I don't know is if the next guy can do that. And why not give that next guy a chance starting, you know, next Monday to prepare for, I don't know, was it Indianapolis after the Jacksonville game? To do that. That's what I'd like to do.
You know, I guess to me, if I'm just looking at solely how many games would I want to see an interim guy coach the team to get a sense for whether or not I should seriously consider him as head coach. And I look, you're as soon as possible. I'd want to see 8 games.
I mean, to be realistic, it would be half a season, yeah.
Yeah, and if let's say he came in and I don't know what he'd possibly change, I don't know what he'd do, whether he'd start blitzing like crazy and creating some pressure because the Lions don't pressure quarterbacks, whether he'd start playing more zone defensively and demand that Corey Unlund did that. You know, what could he possibly do to turn this thing around? Because I'll add this, too. It seems to me that if you do have a hot young name, you want to see what he has more than a guy who's been around like Daryl Bevel. Like, I feel like there's a better chance that they'll rue the day that they let this guy go than Daryl Bevel, because I think Bevel has probably been defined as having probably in most eyes of most organizations around the league, his ceiling is probably coordinator.
Yeah. Each week that goes by, I'm less and less enamored with having Daryl Bevel as a possible head coaching candidate. And I don't know if I ever really had him as one, but I think some people are just defined as being great coordinators, and that's awesome. When you find your niche, exploit it and be the best you can at it. You don't need to go beyond your realm, and I think that's fine. But the next four games for the Lions, it's Jacksonville and Atlanta on the road, home against the Colts, and then at the Vikings. So that's the next quarter of the season. And if you're going to – the only way I see Patricia hanging on to a job is to continue to win. And at any loss, he could be let go. So if they go 4-0 – you can't fire Patricia at 8 games. You got to let him go for the next quarter, and you'll see what happens there. And you get Washington at Carolina, the Texans, and at the Bears. Get a couple more tougher teams in there, and that's probably a better test sample for Patricia. But I've already seen enough on Matt Patricia. So I want to look at those 8 games and see what somebody else can do. And if it's a special teams guy, I guess. I mean, I would have low expectations for him. I don't know if he's the next guy or not, or if it's just, hey, let's grab something out of thin air and think about it as a possibility outside the box here. Special teams coaches have gone on to become pretty good head coaches. It's happened, at least it's happened in one case, certainly with Harbaugh. I don't know if it's happened in others, but he's the one exception. Try to follow that model. If they want to do it, fine. I'm okay with that. And again, it's because I don't think much of Bevel as a head coaching guy. And on the defensive side, Corey Undlin, I haven't been anywhere near impressed with what he's done, because this defense might actually be worse than what they were last year. So I don't care so much for either the coordinators. Give somebody else a shot who would be the special teams coordinator, but not looked at as the same light as the offensive defensive coordinator.
Here we go. Promote a special teams coordinator head coach at 33 years old because we have the number one punter. Sure, sounds like a Lions thing to do.
Coverage units are good too.
Yeah, and what got him on the radar was, again, he had good special teams at Cincinnati, comes to Detroit, has good special teams, and he had people talking down at the Senior Bowl. According to the story in The Athletic, people really thought of him as an up-and-comer and think he's going to be a head coach someday. Yes. Fire Quinn and Patricia and give the man a chance. It's half a season. Matter of fact, it's already a wasted season. We have nothing to lose. How about this one? Does a special teams coordinator to head coach seem worse than a TV color analyst to general manager? No. At least he's a coach.
If that's a slam at the whole Matt Millen thing, I get it. But it's not going to stop me from going there to find another general manager. I would absolutely consider Lewis Riddick. The difference with Lewis Riddick and Matt Millen is Lewis Riddick had experience.
Yeah, he's had a job in scouting and in front offices in this league.
Exactly. Just going through Coombs's coaching background prior to the Lions, like I said, it wasn't always special teams. He'd also been the assistant special teams coach and assistant wide receivers coach in 2018. He'd worked on the defensive side of the ball as a defensive quality control coach. He'd work on the offensive side as the offensive quality control coach. So he's kind of well-rounded, if you will. Now, it's not the same thing as being a coordinator or being a specifically defensive backs coach or a wide receivers coach, but at least it sets up the basis and foundation for having some kind of a well-rounded background. And I think that's a positive. I don't know if this guy's the guy or not. I have no idea. But if I know that I don't want Patricia to be the next head coach and I have no confidence in either the offensive or defensive coordinator, and you got to have somebody coach this team in the interim, why not this guy?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.